Christ is risen.
He is risen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, my dear sisters and brothers in Christ. Is it real? That has got to be the most pressing question today, isn't it? Is it real? You remember the good old days when it was enough to simply look at a picture and that was conclusive enough evidence? When the phrase, "we got you on camera," was enough to convict? Now what happens? We see a picture online and immediately we have to ask ourselves, is that real? Or is it just some like six different filters with some pretty good Photoshop editing, which some of you even do for a living, and I've seen you do it, and it's wizardry. You see this video, and you used to be able to say, it's video, it happened, I saw it. Now we look at it and go, was that just a really good deep fake? This is even something that has filtered into the world of education. Professors and teachers, they no longer just have to worry about plagiarism, that old archaic thing. You know where you cracked open a book and you copied it down word for word? You stole someone else's thoughts? Now AI can write an entire term paper for you. And professors are asking themselves, did my students all of a sudden just get more intelligence, or is their intelligence, is it artificial? Is it real? Oh man, that is the question of the day, and it's actually the question of this day too, Easter, the festival of the resurrection of our Lord. Is it real? Because that's what it all comes down to. Did Jesus the Nazarene actually bodily rise from the dead? Just to clear up any confusion, if you're new to this Christianity thing, or if you've been one your whole life, Christianity is not about morality. Though to be moral is a good thing. Christianity is not about ethics and virtues. Though there are Christian ethics, and to be virtuous is beneficial and beautiful, Christianity is not about the golden rule. Though the golden rule is absolutely golden. No. Christianity all comes down to this: whether or not one man actually rose from the dead. Is it real? In the words just prior to the words of our second scripture reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." You see, Paul, who was a first century Christian missionary, put his entire ministry on the line. More than that, put the entire Christian faith on the line of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, if the golden rule can be proven false, then you know what? Christianity fails. No, he said, if Christ has not been raised, then the whole thing comes crashing down. No other religion in the world gives you the key to undo the whole thing. But that's what Paul does. He says, here, take it. All you have to do is prove that it didn't happen, that Jesus died and stayed dead, and you know what? We'll all go home and we'll never talk about it again. And if you're thinking, well, of course, a guy like Paul says that. I mean, he was a Christian. He was a missionary. He's in the Bible. And this is what I hear all the time. But pastor, if someone who wasn't a Christian, if somebody who wasn't a part of the 12 disciples, if somebody who you know, wasn't a believer, wasn't close to Jesus, if they claim to see it, if they write about it and talk about it, then I'll listen. That's Paul. You got to know the story of the guy who writes these words. Not only was he not a Christian, but he made it his life goal to eradicate Christians. And he was the best at it. In fact, the Bible records a story of another Christian who was being stoned to death because he was a Christian. And who was the man standing in charge of the stoning? A young, influential man rising the ranks by the name of Saul. That was his Jewish name. His Roman name was Paul. And on a trip where he was going to snuff out even more Christians, something that he was crushing, by the way, he, of all people, said, "I saw him. I saw this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, alive from the dead. He was standing in front of me." And if you ask, what changed? What changed for Paul? What changed him? That's it. It's that Paul now knew that this guy, Jesus, actually rose from the dead. So if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you know what? There are some things that I like about Christianity, but ultimately I just can't believe you've got it backwards. You see, Christianity is not one of those religions where the cliche answer to everything is, you just got to believe. You just got to have faith. No. Easter is not built on blind faith. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless. Then it doesn't matter what you believe or how strongly you believe it if Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then my preaching him is a lie. If Christ has not been raised, then believing in him is foolish. If Christ has not been raised, then you being a Christian is meaningless, regardless of how moral or virtuous your life looks. If Christ has not been raised, then in the end, you will end, and that will be it. Paul says it this way in our text, if only for this life, we have hope in Christ, we are to be the most pitied people. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there is no life beyond this one for anyone, and none of this matters. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that changes everything. Not just for Jesus, but for you too. The day Jesus rose from the dead occurred on a special day in the Jewish calendar. It happened on a day called First Fruits. This goes all the way back into the Old Testament. It was a day when God's people would bring to him an offering of whatever the first crop was that produced that season. And as they brought that first fruit crop and gave it to the Lord, what they were expressing was their confidence that, Lord, we are giving to you the very first because we know that it will not be the last. That the rest of the crop, the rest of the harvest is coming. And in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God flips the harvest of first fruits on its head. No longer would it be a sacrificial offering from people to God. No, it would now be an offering about God to people. Christ is God's first fruit offering to you. Jesus is the guarantee that more resurrections are coming. The rest of the harvest is coming. Jesus is the first to rise from the dead, but he most certainly will not be the last. Which is what makes the resurrection of Jesus Christ the comfort of all comforts. Because there is nothing we fear, nothing we work harder to avoid, nothing we hate more than death. And yet we all know it's coming. Paul explains why. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. We say there are only two certainties in life: death and taxes. And over the next couple of weeks, and maybe even me just bringing it up, I'm sorry, many of us will be stressing our taxes. But we spend our entire lives stressing death. And despite our best efforts of exercising and eating healthy and popping pills and getting injections and doing whatever the next life-extending scientific thing that comes along is, death is certain. There is no escaping it, and Paul tells us why. Death came through a man. In Adam all die. This was the warning that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Do not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. In Adam, the certainty of death began its march, and it has not ended. That's what makes this day, this man, Jesus Christ, so important. Because Jesus' resurrection means there is now a third certainty in life for you. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Just as certain as death is this. Through faith in Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, you will be made alive again. But each in his own turn, Paul says. Christ, the first fruits, then when He comes, those who belong to Him. Jesus rises first, and He has. Then Jesus comes again on the last day, and He will. And then it'll be your Easter Sunday. It will be your day of resurrection. All because Jesus says you belong to Him. And is there anything else in this life that we are longing to hear more than that? How desperately we try to belong, to fit in. How much we want to know and hear and be surrounded by people who tell us that we matter. Brothers and sisters, if you are looking for this, then look no further. Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the King of kings, says to you, you belong to me. You belong with me. You matter so much to me that I was willing to go to hell and back just to have you. Then the end will come. When Jesus hands over the kingdom of God the Father after He has destroyed all dominion, power, and authority, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Easter means that we can call death what it actually is. We don't have to try and soften it by calling it some sort of, passing away. We don't even have to call it this necessary part of the circle of life. Call it what it is. Easter says, let's be honest, death is our greatest enemy. It is an unwelcome intruder into the life and the world that God created and intended for you to have. Death attacks our hope. It steals our joy. It rips away our loved ones. It robs us of life. We hate death, and we fight against it with everything we have, and yet it still finds a way to win. But not today. Not today. See the place where He laid Him. He is not here. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Death could not find a way to keep its grip on Jesus, who emerged alive, and that means that everything changes for you too. It means that sin no longer convicts us. It means Satan no longer controls us. It means death no longer contains us, because my Jesus lives. Because your Jesus let death do its worst to him, and 3 days later he came out alive. So that when death does its worst to you, when death does its worst to those you love, remember this. On the surface and in that moment, it will look like death wins. But you belong to the one who is more powerful still. The one whose voice promises to wake you up one day just as easily and just as quickly as your mom used to be able to wake you up on Christmas morning. And death will have to release its grip on you too. Brothers and sisters, the resurrection is real. And our fear of death is buried. Christ is risen, and what lies beyond death is no longer unknown. Christ is risen, and your grave is nothing more than a temporary bed. Jesus lives, and he lives just as he died for you. And just as you will one day be raised to live with him in the mansions of heaven, you now have every reason to live your life here and now for him as well. Today, his promise rings true. Because I live, you also will live. Jesus is risen, just as he told you, just as he tells you, you will. So shout your alleluias. Shout with all the certainty a resurrected and living Savior can give you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Risen indeed. Alleluia and amen.